Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, my name is Sarah, and welcome back to another episode of Talking Fast. Alongside me, just like every single week, is manager Jacob, and the people would like to know, what are you eating or drinking this week?
Okay, well, Sarah, I didn't actually drink this yet, but I walked past it in the grocery store, and I was like, I have to talk about this on the show because I feel very passionate about it. Pink lemonade in the, like, frozen concentrate.
Oh, when you like mix it into the water.
You do that as a kid, like,
yeah,
yeah. I feel like I made orange juice like that as a kid. I grew up on orange juice and that, like the Minute Maid stuff.
Well, because they used to be really inexpensive. They used to literally be like 25 cents.
I know. They're still like, I think it's like $1.29 or something.
But still, like
they
used to be like 25 cents.
I know, you could go in
four
for
a dollar.
Yeah, that is a wild. That's a wild amount of pink lemonade. I was gonna say we have to bring pink lemonade back. And I don't know what it is about that's in the air. Maybe it's because we don't have a lot of snow here in Toronto right now. But I've kind of decided in my mind to skip winter and go straight to summer vibes. And I think the pink lemonade is something that I'm going to be going to a lot.
Interesting. Here. I don't know the last time I drank pink lemonade, but I respect it.
I was thinking about it, so I just wanted to shout out pink lemonade. What about you? What are you drinking this week?
I'm back on my bullshit. I'm back on my Diet Coke addiction.
Oh, no.
I kicked it for a long time and I wasn't drinking a lot of Diet Coke. And I was only drinking it when I needed like that afternoon pick me up. I didn't want coffee.
Little buzz, yeah.
But now I'm on Diet Coke TikTok. Have you ever been on Diet Coke TikTok?
Can't say I have, no.
So Diet Coke TikTok is like talking about the different types of Diet Coke and how in a can versus a fountain versus a bottle. Bottle's like the
least. What is your preferred Diet Coke?
Fountain.
Really? Fountain. Is that controversial?
I feel like
most people like the cans.
Fountain, then can.
Okay.
Then followed by bottle or whatever I need.
You go wild and go 2 liter bottle of Diet Coke?
No, I don't. I can't say I do. But I will say it's not as like heavy. I was like really addicted to Diet Coke like this time last year. It's back. It's not too strong. I literally at one point was buying cases to keep under my desk at work because I was like tired of paying $3 for a can of Diet Coke. I talked about it on this podcast.
That is addict behavior.
So now I treated myself to one today. I love the taste of it. I can't help it. It's so good. So I'm back on my Diet Coke addiction.
Okay. What about what we're watching or reading this week? Sarah, what do you got?
So the Oscar nominees were announced this week that we're
some
recording
snubs.
This. Some snubs. I can't even get into that debate because Margot, whatever. Greta's the one that hurt me. That,
yeah.
Like that one's the one that hurt. I really don't care about Margot Robbie. Like she's going to be in a million other movies.
What are some standout Oscar noms for you then?
My whole thing is I'm going to start watching all the movies.
Again. Oh,
so
okay,
I watch
yeah.
the movies every year, or I try to. There's some that I don't watch. So I have my list now. I've watched a few, but like I watched some films like May, December in hopes of like them getting a Best Picture nominee.
Nothing.
So that I would like beat it. And then they got nominated for nothing. So anyway.
Yeah, I know.
Wild. I'm going to need to start going through my list. I'm going to go see Poor Things next week. I'm going to go see, well, on, I think I can just watch at home. Oh my God.
Have you seen Past Lives?
Past Lives I've not watched yet. That's Ooh, also on so my list. Good. Oh, you God. Saw it?
Yeah, it is. And it's a so Canadian good.
That made or that directed it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's another snub. Greta Lee not getting Best Actress was also another snub. So anyways, I'm going to go through all of the Oscar nominated movies for Best Picture specifically. I've seen like out of the 10, I've seen like 4 of them. So I've got some work to do, but if I start it now, then we'll be fine by the middle of March. And so maybe like my what I'm watching every week for the next few weeks is just going to be whatever Oscar film I've been watching.
That's a good one though, because I noticed I've only seen of the Best Picture nominations, I think 3. So I was like, I got some work to do because there are 10, right?
Yeah, there's 10. So I got to watch Maestro. I really don't want to, but I'm going to watch it because it's nominated. And
yeah.
So there's some that I'll like watch just to get through. I do that every year, but this is the year I'm going to get through all 10. I've never gone through all 10. I always stop at like 8. Like there's just something I never end up watching.
There's some on the fringes that are like nominated, but have no shot. I don't need to.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but this year actually seems like a category of movies that I would actually be interested in watching. Mm-hmm. So I think I can get through all 10.
Okay.
What
okay.
about you? What are you watching?
Okay. Maybe, I don't know. Nostalgia might just be like rolling through my veins right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I caught myself doing? A lot of people make fun of people who just like are shooting videos and photos mm-hmm. all the time when they're traveling or just like in every day. I am someone who goes back and looks at that stuff all the time.
I look at it on planes.
Oh, yeah.
Were you on the plane looking
no,
at it?
No, I was just at home. I was lying on the couch. I was recovering after. I was getting a little rest in after like a long trip.
Oh.
But I was...
You're just camera roll videos?
Yeah, I look at camera roll videos. And I think it's because I was talking in a family group chat about a couple of other things. Mm. And I'm like, oh, remember this time last year? Sometimes you just forget. It's if you live a busy life, the stuff that you've actually been doing.
Yeah.
Especially in like the winter time when you're a little down and whatnot. Take a scroll through your videos and just remember the good times.
Oh my God. I've done it for... Well, so like everyone's like, who takes videos at concerts and watches them back? Me. I'm that
yes.
person. When I'm on an airplane, I sit there. Like when I was flying from Chicago to Montana, it was only like a 2-hour flight. And I sat there and relived the Eras tour on my phone. I rewatched every single one of my videos in full. And it killed like over an hour of time.
I love that. I'll do concert videos as well. Yeah. And it'd be like, sometimes you have versions that they haven't even released
exactly.
as well.
Or
right?
like, it's really cool to see how they performed it. Or like, you forget how like, you just go back to that moment. So I'm all for going back and watching your camera roll videos. I love that. What about what we're listening to?
This week? This is a big one. You know, I threw that party called Just Friends.
It was a vibe. A
couple of months back.
It was vibey.
So one of the guys I threw it with, Sugar Jesus, my buddy
Sugar
Andre.
Sugar Jesus. Shout out Andre.
Sugar Jesus. So he actually produced this artist Kaiza's new album.
Oh.
And it... The track has just dropped, I think, when this is coming out, the previous Friday. So it comes out. The track is amazing. I know we're just in early
God,
months
you can't,
here.
You can't say
I'm not
it
calling
again.
It the song of the summer. I'm saying it. I'm adding
we'll
it to my
playlist.
Warmer weather, sunshining playlist because it is a good vibe.
Jacob's Songs of Summer 2.0.
If you haven't listened to it, you got to check it out. Heaven Ain't Calling by Kaiza and Sugar Jesus.
Right on.
That is what I'm listening to
this week.
Is it
going to be played
week.
At the next time you do a Just Friends?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Probably 5 times. If I'm the one DJing, I'm just going to like put one song I like on
repeat
for an
hour. Well, it'll be yes and for an hour or whatever you're hyper-fixated on at that time.
What about you this week, Sarah? What are you listening to?
I am listening. I'm back on my podcast game. I'd fallen off for a little bit, but listening to different shows. But I'm back to listening to Smartlist because, again, going Ooh. With like Oscar season because they're like seen as like a legit media organization, which is crazy to me. But it's like whatever. They get all the big Oscar nominated actors on.
Right,
so
okay.
Emma Stone's the episode I'm listening to right now. And I love Emma Stone. So like getting to like hear her in a more casual setting like this is like really refreshing. So yeah, I'm listening to like all like the ones related to like film and movies right now. I'm very much like in that space.
Well, a good accompaniment. To watching all the Best Picture nominations
exactly.
then too, right? Go see Poor Things next week and then also have just listened to this with
exactly.
Emma Stone.
Exactly. So I feel like I'll get to like know more about the films and the people behind them, which is really cool.
Ooh, that's a good one. What about somewhere you went this week, Sarah?
So another bar opened up in The Well. I saw someone comment on my TikTok.
I still
haven't
been.
Someone, that's wild. Someone commented on my TikTok. It was like, Toronto TikTokers love nothing more than The Well. And I was like, it's actually kind of accurate, but it's because everyone kind of lives in that area, like lives west.
Well,
and so
not anyone, but yeah.
Are you a Toronto TikToker? So it's so close to my, like, it's so close. It's like a 5 minute walk. So another bar opened up. Tara and I went last night, and it's actually a bar that's in Calgary. So Lulu is a restaurant in Calgary. It's a restaurant and bar. It's like Polynesian inspired.
Ooh, okay.
And it's got like really good food, and the cocktails are really fun, and they're like not crazy expensive. Like, you're not paying like $28 for, like, it's like under $20 for a cocktail.
Right.
And they're like, they come in fun glasses, like cats and stuff like that. And the cocktails are really, really good. So we went back last night. First time I went to the one in Toronto, beautiful location. It's stunning. It's two floors. Absolutely loved it. So I definitely want to go back and actually go for like dinner.
Yeah.
But I went twice when I was in Calgary and I loved it. So it was just, it's cool. It's like, I like that something came here that I'd
like
to go
when they do
somewhere
some
else.
Transplants like that.
Yeah. So it was really good. Yeah, exactly. So great vibes. It's like pretty much the exact same menu and everything is the Calgary location too. So definitely go to check out Lulu Bar. I don't know what it's called, but Lulu in The Well. It was really good. And I just can't wait till more stuff opens up there.
Okay, I got to go take a trip over there then and check out
a
few of these things.
Yeah, you need to. Where is somewhere that you went this week?
Well, I went, it wasn't exactly this week, but I went back there to pick them up. These are old frames. If you're watching the video version of this, I got new glasses, technically, because I've had these frames for a few years now, actually, but I like them a lot.
These are your old frames.
Yeah, you probably haven't seen me wear these, actually. Probably not.
What are your frames normal? What are your frames?
They actually looked identical to this, but I broke the other ones. But I found these, and I was like, I used to love those glasses, so I went back. My eyes have gotten worse, Sarah.
Oh no!
It's not going to be a surprise with my age over the hill over here that I had to go and update my prescription, which is never an easy, like, a fun thing to do. But listen, shout out those like health appointments that you got to go out and like
and
get
done,
because I can actually see now.
Yeah, it's alarming how little I can see right now, and I really need to go get my eyes checked. So you just reminded me, maybe I'll book an appointment tomorrow because it's necessary.
It is so easy to put off an optometrist appointment.
Yeah.
But once you go out and do it, you're like, oh, this isn't actually that bad. Sarah, finish us off. Something you did this week.
So I've started lifting weights.
Oh,
lifting,
okay.
Not very heavy things, but heavy things to me.
Yeah.
I don't really know what I'm doing. I often just go on TikTok and look up arm workout routine, like workout routine. And it's actually really easy because I just like, I follow along with the video and it's very straightforward. I learned like a little bit from going to like workout classes, like at 45 and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like such a gym bro when I have like my over ear headphones on, because I only ever have like earbuds in, because normally I'm running or doing cardio. But when you're doing weights, it's like, you're just lifting heavy things, so you don't have to, you can have the over your headphone. I don't know. I just feel like I like fit the aesthetic of it now, but I've been really enjoying it so far. And I like feeling like stronger. So
have you ever done like a what do you call it? I don't do this either.
Like a weights routine? A weights routine?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like setting a program and like, you know, there are different milestones when you like up your weight then
for sure,
too, right? You can kind of see the progression.
I've never done that. I did watch a TikTok where the girl was basically like, you should be struggling to get through like 10 reps of something, like it should be like, or like she, by the last five you should be like feeling it and struggling. If you're not, then you need to go up.
Yeah,
so that's how I've been like judging it, like just because it makes it very simple. So I'm just allowing myself and giving myself the grace to like get into a routine of just actively doing it. So right now I'm trying to do it 3 times a week. So I did 3 times last week.
That's good.
It'll be 3 times this week, and then once I'm in the routine of just making it part of my routine, then I think maybe I'll try like
get more specific,
like a specific arm day. But I don't really follow
arm day, leg day, et cetera.
So I'm just allowing myself the first month just to like get into the routine of lifting.
Well, that's good, because it also benefits, speaking about like some of these running races that we have coming up, strength training.
We got another member of our team for the spring runoff. Dean joined yesterday.
Oh, hell yeah. So, if you're doing the spring runoff here in Toronto or the Sporting Life 10K, we have
a
Talking
team.
Fast, Running Faster
team.
Teams.
And teams win prizes. Like there's prizes for
and
like the best teams.
We want to win.
And we have some very good runners that are running influencers on our team. So we have a good chance of winning.
Yeah,
actually,
we had some big names join the team, which
did.
Is great. So if you want to be, you know,
on a winning team
like I am, come be attached to some people who are professionals who can make us look good. Join the team.
But yes, also say is the lifting is the whole point, is so I can get stronger for like running. Like that's the reason I started doing it.
Yeah,
so.
Which I think is overlooked. I know I overlooked that aspect of like functional strength training to benefit other sports. And
it was my physiotherapist that told me I need to start doing it. And she's like, and then that way you'll be able to like recover faster. Everything will
and
be easier.
And potentially avoid injury too.
Well,
which
it's
is
my
for
calf.
Me.
She's like, go like actually properly weights like
yeah,
and do it
exactly.
So what about you? What's something that you did?
Okay, one other shout out. I didn't talk about this in the last episode when we were going, or 2 episodes ago when we were talking about Boston. We also went in Boston to Moulin Rouge, the musical. but like live theater. And I was like, whoa, it's actually been a little while since I've gone
went to like a musical
and done seen live theater. Yeah, I think you went recently, right, to one of them here?
Yeah, I went. Well, I've been to a few. I went to like this Christmas is one that right. was really good. I went to go see the Alanis Morissette one.
Yeah, and I used to do it pretty often. Regular.
There's
yeah.
some really good shows this year that you should see in Toronto.
Yeah,
there's
Toronto does. That's what I was looking up. I was like, Toronto's got good shows.
Wicked.
And there's something about, you know, it's when we're doing the podcast and like looking at what we watched or read this week, sometimes it's like, wow, I didn't really consume anything. Or like I watched a TV mm-hmm. show, tried to start a TV show that wasn't very good. Put in a big time investment into like watching two episodes or three episodes of a show just to know that it's not something you want to see.
Yeah.
I feel like live theater, it's also just a couple hours of investment, but yeah, like there true. Is nothing like going and seeing a story told in front of you, I think.
And the raw talent.
That. Yeah, exactly. And I hadn't seen that in a while. So I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to do, that's maybe a goal of mine is to go see more live theater.
There's some really good shows this year. I will send you a list of recommendations.
Amazing.
Today, I'm so excited to welcome our guest, Jen Harper, founder of Cheekbone Beauty, the first ever Indigenous-owned and founded cosmetics company. After gaining popularity quickly from being on Dragon's Den, Cheekbone Beauty is helping Indigenous youth see themselves in a beauty brand. I'm so excited to dive deeper into the brand and everything beauty. Please welcome Jen Harper. Thanks for coming on. We're so excited to have you.
Thanks for having me. And in person, too.
In person. Yes. That's what most people, it's like, we ask if they've done a podcast before, and a lot of people, it's like, yes, but virtual, like through Zoom. So sometimes the lights and the microphone and everything is people's first experience. So yeah. We're very excited. So let's just get started with like the beginning of the brand. We know that you've said before that it came to you in a dream. Can you explain to our listeners like how that happens and how that manifests into like a massive beauty brand that's like I can find at Sephora now? Like that's crazy that you just like dreamt it and then yeah. like you actually like put it into action.
Like normal people just have a dream, go back to sleep.
That's
and
what I was thinking.
I was gonna say, yeah, not everyone. I definitely haven't had a dream woken up and then immediately wrote a success, not just not a business plan, but one that you actually follow through with.
Yeah, it's an insane story. So I always preface this by, I think it's funny because people like I'm Indigenous Native, so they're mm-hmm. like, was it a vision? And I'm like, no, this was like I'm sleeping and pop out of bed middle of the night, and all I remember from this dream mm-hmm. is three Native little girls covered in lip gloss, and they were giggling and laughing and had the rosiest cheeks. When I woke up, I did write down, I was like, mm-hmm. okay, figure out how to make a lip gloss. That was yeah. the product at the time.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to use a portion of the profits to do something to support my community. And mm-hmm. I didn't know what that looked like or what that meant,
yeah.
but those were just the initial original ideas. And fast forward to all these years later, sure enough, we sell products, you know, lots of mm-hmm. color cosmetics products. And then we're a B Corp certified company. So we give and commit 2% of our annual revenues back to causes that matter. And for us, that's our Indigenous scholarship fund, as well as 1% for the planet, because the whole mission of our brand is about sustainability through this idea of through this Indigenous mm-hmm. lens of like thinking about how Indigenous people lived long before, you know, arrival to modern day North America, and what that looked like for my community, which mm-hmm. are Anishinaabe people, and I'm Ojibwe from that tribe. But yeah, so I think when I go back and I think about that time having the dream, then doing this, I think I have to be really open and honest, because that's not a normal thing to do.
Yeah.
And I was recently sober when I had that dream. So mm-hmm. I had battled alcoholism for many years, and it was November 26, 2014. I get sober. This dream happens January 2015. So like two months later. And I think I was just at a point in my life where I just knew I wanted a new career path.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time of me being newly sober, I was learning about the residential school system and that both of my grandparents survived that. And I really wanted to do something to help my community. I just didn't mm-hmm. know what that looked like. I was a big fan of brands like Patagonia and Tom's Shoes that mm-hmm. Where you can really create a business, but yeah, like be like doing good back. At the same yeah. time. And I'm like, is that even possible? And that was the beginning of the idea. And where here we are today.
Were, is your background like in the makeup space, or was it was literally the lip gloss?
Absolutely not. I was selling fish. I worked for a seafood company.
Oh, wow.
I've been in the food industry for all of my career up until the last
Years. Do you think that that maybe benefited you then to not have like the strict background of how someone should build a beauty company, where you can maybe then, it's a little bit not easier necessarily, but you can be more focused on maintaining those values that are core to the business itself to build that foundation up, as opposed to trying to copy another maybe existing brand in the space?
Absolutely. Being naive, I think, gives you this incredible delusion about what is possible and what you know and what you can do. But I think not knowing how the industry already operated was a huge advantage. But I have said, I'm really open that if I knew what I know now about the industry, about the space, and the highly, highly competitive nature of this industry, and in all honesty, how easy it was to start, which means so many more people entered this space, I would not have done it, because it's so hard, and growing has been so hard. And it's like five conglomerates own the entire beauty industry, and they're all like technically run by like French white dudes from France, right? Like that's LVMH. who runs and then like Coty and Estee Lauder, and it's just,
and then they just buy up all the other ones. Even like now, like Kylie Cosmetics, at one point when people are like, oh, that's like a growing, like Coty buys it, so then it becomes the same thing. I actually was at a makeup event last night, and I was sitting there as they were like releasing these products. I was sitting there thinking, I was like, how many lipsticks though are like in stores already? And I was like, and then how is this one different? And then it's like, I'm looking at the products and go, oh, clearly this is inspired by something else that another brand already did. And then it's all just like slightly different. So in a super highly like competitive environment, obviously with like the pillars of what your company stands for, is that how you guys stand out?
Yeah, so I've said that for years. I'm like, the world didn't need another lipstick brand. Like, for goodness sakes, there's so many. But it, what it did need one was that represented indigenous people. And 100%. I felt like the brands that existed were very, they were leaving a lot of people out. Right. And so that was the initial foundation. I always say our foundation is this concept about representation and how much it matters. And I think honestly, on this psychographic level as humans, I don't think we fully understand how much it does matter. I recognize now, you know, from my own community, the feedback we get of people just like crying while they're standing in front of our like Sephora display, and people that I don't even know personally. Like I met someone this week when I was at a speaking event, and she said she just stood there in with so much pride. And I was thinking, I had shared this story a lot over the last couple of years because it was really powerful for me. I've been saying from the beginning, I'm like, representation matters. And then I had this opportunity where I actually felt it. We did this eventing at Sephora when we had launched only in 15 stores across the country. So this was June of 2022. And it's Indigenous Peoples Month. So, of course, everyone loves to pay attention to Indigenous people during that month. So be it. But we got to do these events, and I'm in the Eaton Center. And I had no idea that Sephora had paid for this like massive billboard in the center of the mall, and it was our branding, and it's like cheapo now they'll bullets for. So I'm sitting at the lower level that morning when I walk in, and I was just like, I was sobbing because I had no idea they were doing that. And I was thinking about my experience as a young girl. I lived with my dad for a time in Scarborough in Native public housing, and I was 12. And so at the time, I've always, and I would come, and we would, he'd always be like, what do you want to do this weekend? And it was always something about going to the Eaton Center. I don't know why. So I'm sitting in the Eaton Center, and I was just thinking, and all those years, never would I ever have imagined me owning a brand that's available in a store like Sephora, which is the biggest beauty retailer in the world. And so that night, you know, all the Sephora clients are there, and I'm putting blush on them, and we're doing our thing. But then this family walks in. It's like an Anishinaabe family. It was like the mom, an auntie, and this little girl who was about 12 and her little brother. And they were just so sweet, and she was already had confidence that I certainly didn't have at that age. And she was telling me about her TikTok account and how she had to shut it down. And her brother's like, no, you didn't. They were just being kids. But I'm driving home that night, and I literally felt, I was like, oh my goodness, this is why this matters so much. Because those two kids are never going to question or not wonder what's possible for them.
They're not going to like know a world where those opportunities don't exist for them.
Exactly. And I was just floored by that because I actually like felt it in my body that day.
Well, and also like what you just touched on, like it's the where the representation also matters is like actually brands in like that are owned by the people that need to be represented, not brands like just hiring people for Indigenous People's Month and going, oh, look, we use models for the month of June.
Yeah.
That's not actual because representation.
For sure. I feel like there's such a big issue with just lip service, not in the beauty industry only, but across everywhere. Industries, right? Yeah. Where it's like, it's kind of a one-off, a little bit of tokenism. And it's like, oh, hey, we're part of this conversation. It's like, well, maybe you should actually just support a company who's at its core about that.
Yeah.
I've heard you also talk about the narrative of a brand and how important communicating the narrative of your brand is as well. Is that something that you think makes you stand out apart from, say, some of the other more European beauty standard centric companies that are maybe more so concerned with profits as they are, more so than they are about telling a compelling story that represents people who are maybe underrepresented?
Yeah, it's for sure our story, the reason why we exist, I think why we've drawn such an incredible community. And most recently, I just received like a thank you card handwritten from a customer, which I'm like, when does that happen? Usually you get an email or a DM, right?
Oh, like, I love that.
So it arrived in the mail and I'm reading through it. And I just, again, recognized how much work we've actually done as a small indie brand in this space of being sustainable and bringing, I don't even like using the word clean anymore because it's so misused as along with sustainability, because there's so much, you know, misinformation that's spread with those two stories. But the client said, you know, her whole life because of an autoimmune disease could not use any products. And like most of our products are almost 99% and the minimum is 98% naturally derived. Like that's what we strive for.
Amazing.
And then we've made these products not only natural but efficacious. Like they're actually lasting and we've brought bold color to this category that people I don't know why they hadn't figured it out so long. But we've been able to do that. And so not only now did we do the work of providing representation, but I feel like we're actually showing big brands and organizations what's possible if you just focus on the smaller things. And I get it, they're giant ships for them to turn around and work on projects. Like that's all I've been focused on for 6 years is like, how do we actually make things sustainable? And being so transparent with our audience and community that, okay, we tried this, that doesn't work, but like everything we sell is either refillable, is made out of compostable materials of some kind. And it's this whole idea of not us adding to the landfill. And we just did some data collection. And just last year alone, it's over 100,000 units that won't go into a landfill because people chose to purchase from us. And I hope we can, I hope our community grows because I want that number to be in the millions, right? Like make a choice when you buy a product that you know you're not gonna add to the landfill, that you can make a choice about refillability or compostability.
Well, and then also you saying that like bringing bold colors and things that I think other people, like in the past, maybe people felt like they had to sacrifice those things for sustainability or whatever. So being able to build a brand that, no, you don't have to sacrifice the quality of a product. You don't have to sacrifice, if you just put in a little bit of the elbow grease and the time and effort and focus on something in, and I think a lot of it probably has to come from the fact that you weren't in this space before. So like sometimes a new perspective is like, what can be best for, especially I think an up and coming brand. So then you're not sacrificing any of that to also then be sustainable and be supporting other like organizations by purchasing your products versus the next one in Sephora, which is really cool as well. Especially if it's not directly going into landfills, because again, we don't need more lipsticks. We don't need more lipsticks that are going and affecting our planet even more. Because like, again, when I go to Sephora and I look like those videos that are sometimes on TikTok where it's like about how much of the stuff goes into even the garbage out back and stuff like that, like it stresses me out, the overconsumption of it.
So many organizations choose to throw things away versus actually giving it away or selling it. We will absolutely never do that. We had, I think, like a bunch of cases of lipstick, they've expired. So we know we can't sell them or donate them.
Yeah.
And so we actually worked with one of the art directors in the school board, and they're taking all of the waste products and actually making an art project out of it.
Oh, that's amazing.
And we will always look for opportunities like that so that we can avoid throwing things away as much as possible.
Do you think that that's maybe something that's missing in the industry is I guess just having a baseline of approaching decision making with intention as opposed to maybe just pure profits?
Absolutely. I mean, they're old models and mm-hmm. they just don't work. I think they work if you are greedy, right? Like mm-hmm. and just want to be rich and wealthy and fill stakeholders' yeah. pockets. I think they work then, but I don't think they work for this space that we all want to live in. And we mm-hmm. know that there's so many incredible human beings that I get to meet mm-hmm. on this journey. And there's so many people that are more interested in doing things differently and having the ability as an entrepreneur, like you, I can't believe that you get to decide the kind of company you want mm-hmm. to make. And we've been doing that from the beginning. We actually use what is called the Seven Grandfather Teachings, which is based in my Anishinaabe culture. Mm-hmm. And they're simple things like love, humility, respect, and how it relates to us and the mm-hmm. earth. And those, and then we made those our core values, like mm-hmm. every organization has core values. And then we're like, how do we actually live and breathe that? And I was doing, you know, the real business things like quarterly reviews with one of our team members, and they were just so proud to work somewhere. She's like, sometimes people talk about this, but now that I've been here, I see we're actually like living it and yeah. doing it. And it's really amazing. And I'm like, we're really small. We get to do that. And mm-hmm. I can't promise that it will always, you know, if you have a big company and it's growing, and I'm not there on mm-hmm. sort of the sidelines yeah. of almost everything, but you hope that you're training and developing people that want to see it continue on the way it is.
And I do think though that with like, I mean, with the cost of living going up and everything, I like to think that most humans would rather, if they're going to be spending their like $25, $35, $40, whatever on like a product, that I think now people are taking it a little bit more seriously too when it comes to like purchasing power. So like, and more so purchasing with brands that align with core values or that actually put their money where their mouth is with sustainability and stuff like that. So I do think, I mean, I feel it as a consumer that there feels like a shift. Have you felt that on like your side and feedback you get from customers as well?
Yeah, I think people have to really understand it takes a lot of education. Mm-hmm. I did a speaking event in Alberta at the Recycling Council conference last year, and mm-hmm. a woman came up to me. She's like, I've heard about your brand for years, but I have to be honest, I never bought anything because I was like, whoa, this is really expensive. Mm-hmm. Now, we're no different than Sephora prices, but mm-hmm. when it comes to drugstore, yeah, yes, of course. But one of the statements that I always make in my keynote is we can't kid ourselves that a product that is perhaps $15 or under, in some cases, I'm mm-hmm. not going to say everything, but we have to recognize that if you look on the label and find out where something's made, mm-hmm. you're going to almost be guaranteed that a human being is being impacted in a negative 100%. Way by the yeah. purchase of your product. And just because they're not mm-hmm. from the same country you live in doesn't mean they deserve any more respect or more payment. And mm-hmm. and I think we have to look at that this way, mm-hmm. this whole idea of like we've transferred where manufacturing is and how things are done because, you know, it's less costly in these places, mm-hmm. but we're impacting humans and their lives, right? And it's I think it's awful that we chose to make those decisions. Mm-hmm. And now we're not going to be perfect. And so with sustainability, it's like there is no silver bullet.
Of course.
There's no black or white, which is so hard for us as mm-hmm. human beings because we yeah. just love, is this right or is this yeah. wrong? Mm-hmm. No, it means it's work on our part. We have to ask a lot more questions of brands and that will help you make your decision as a consumer. But our community is certainly made up of people that fully understand mm-hmm. that. But to convert, it's a heck of a lot harder. We can't do that with one Facebook ad, right?
Yeah,
it's like
of
they
course.
Have to hear the
of
whole
course.
Story.
They have to like yeah. understand the bigger picture. And mm-hmm. then so when it's like at what cost, it's like, well, it's at the cost of like sustainability, supporting community. Like there's mm-hmm. so many other layers in it. And you're right. If you're able to get like makeup products that are anything under 50, like it's not coming, it's in either mass manufacturing or it's not like with the best products. It doesn't have that cruelty-free stamp on it. It doesn't, like there's so many layers to it, I think, that yeah. when the, yeah, it, you're right. It takes the education part, which I think sometimes people aren't necessarily.
Do you find that growth is maybe a little bit slower in that sense, but maybe you're winning over customers that are going to be there for the long term, whereby, you know, someone who really identifies with what we're talking about here can then, you know, convince their friends over a longer period of time, but you're winning over mm-hmm. customers probably for life. In that case, yeah, is that
I'd
what you
say
find?
The longevity. It'd be like once you've hooked them, they're like there for life. It feels like.
Yeah, and our this is crazy because our customer return rate is almost 60%,
right?
Which is huge, oh wow,
right in the retail space. So especially once we have makeup. A customer,
yeah,
they come back. It baffles me. Like I always look at like the top 100. Mm-hmm. And we're talking like 40, 60 orders for some of these folks. And that's insane. I was wow. like, wow, they've been supporting us for years and buying a lot of products. That's a lot of makeup.
Yeah.
But then we'll get little messages where like, now everything I'm buying is yours. And mm-hmm. they're really here to support that. And they love what we're doing. It's just, it's a long game. You want it fast as the entrepreneur, not fast in the sense that it would be damaging, but of course you want to grow at faster mm-hmm. rates sure, sometimes. Yeah. So I think we can be a bit impatient. And then when you work with a big retailer, mm-hmm. their expectations of your growth is huge.
Next, let's go.
Yeah.
You're an end aisle, so you should be getting that. Yeah.
I used to work in.
I can imagine. Like it would just be like.
And I was never in retail. Like my mm-hmm. experience all came from like hospitality. So you're dealing in sort of the other side of mm-hmm. things. So retail's a whole different world for me, and we've been on this learning curve. But I think, you know, I really am still passionate about just doing things slowly and mm-hmm. thoughtfully. And, you know, you hope these retailers understand your way of doing business and want to continue doing business with you.
Yeah. What are some of the other pain points of being, I guess, like a first-time entrepreneur, you know, going from dream to writing a business yeah. plan and I guess doing all of the things that go into starting a brand. I couldn't start to name them.
I would be like, the dream about lip gloss, what was your first, did you just Google how do you make lip gloss?
Yeah. So that was the crazy part. It was so easy. Now,
really?
I used what was called, it's called private label mm-hmm. and right. you're buying a product and that was so easy. So I had found someone in Toronto that does that. But a year in, now I'm like, oh, that brand that I just saw on social media is clearly using the same supplier.
Yeah.
And then in 2018, I got to sit in the boardroom of Sephora Canada because I applied for their accelerator program. Mm-hmm. And they looked at the products. They invited me in. They knew what the products were. But I think they were excited about the idea of this brand I was mm-hmm. building. Mm-hmm. But they were like, those products will absolutely never sit on our shelf.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because anyone can do it.
Because if anyone can do it, then it's like, then what gives you the allure of going into Sephora exactly. to purchase it? Oh, interesting.
So I left that meeting and I was like, okay, I always knew those weren't the products of my dreams. Mm-hmm. I don't have a ton of money. I don't come from generational wealth.
Yeah, of course.
And so this started with $500 in this corner of my mm-hmm. basement. And I was, small minimums. I could take pictures with my phone. I uploaded a Shopify store. All mm-hmm. that part was relatively simple. What has been the most challenging is what I chose to do and build a lab at our headquarters in St. Catharines,
oh my God.
Hire a chemist, work with Ooh, sustainability yeah. scientists, and I couldn't do that without investment. And so in 2019, just before going on Dragon's Den, that's when we had met with our investment partners today, Raven Capital, but would not have been able to do any of that without their money and this vision of how can we truly transform and make mm-hmm. sustainable products.
And then also, then you get to go on things like Dragon's Den. Like that, they don't pick up anybody unless they have a great story as well. What was that experience like? And was it a turning point in the business for you?
Yes. So major turning point.
Yeah.
But I had tried out 3 times before getting on.
Really?
You did 3 years
in a row. Yeah, and it was finally.
I didn't realize there's
time.
That many businesses in Canada. To be honest, that sounds crazy, but I guess there is. But I just like didn't realize that many people would be auditioning every year to go in Dragon's Den.
Mm-hmm. So the third time, I finally got selected, and then you get selected, mm-hmm. and you don't know if your episode is even going to make it to air, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you go and you do. And you tape for just an hour, just over. So the segment is like 7 minutes. So it's really edited differently than it actually happens.
Yeah, of course.
My kids make fun of me because they're like, "Mom, you were on TV for 7 minutes and crying for 6." Right? I'm Jen Harper cries a lot.
Yeah. I'm a producer, and I don't know why I'm someone that always goes, I don't know what, crying makes good TV. So I understand, like, it's unfortunate, but I understand, like, exactly that's how an edit would have gone. They were like, this is gold.
Emotional gold.
Yes, exactly.
Let's get the audience.
100%. Yeah. But you turned down the offer on Dragon's Den.
Yeah. There was a 50% offer, and I was like, and you know who was rooting for me? Michelle and Arlene. They just kept yelling, you're too soon. You have a good business. Is just too soon. Do not give up any equity. Oh. And that is the best advice you could possibly receive. But when you're a new entrepreneur, I can tell you, you want this to keep growing. You need capital. And I don't know what I would do if I was desperate. But in my back pocket, while taping Dragon's Den, Raven Capital had given me a term sheet for $350,000 with no equity. It was a convertible note, which meant I could either pay it back at this reasonable interest rate, that $350, or they're going to convert that into equity.
Yeah.
And we have then become equity partners.
Amazing.
Oh, my God. Oh, so then you weren't like, so then that's amazing. You don't have to be desperate. Because I can imagine as a new entrepreneur, especially if you're like still new to the space and you have all these things that you know are coming up, you're like, oh my God, I'm building a lab. I'm doing all this. And then you're standing there. It's like, it also, I feel like, and maybe you can speak to this, did it almost feel like a game show to a certain point though too? Because it feels like a competition, like you win if you get an investment almost. Like, does it kind of feel like that in the way that it's built up?
It does. Yeah. I also knew in all honesty, I'm like, okay, if we can say Cheekbone Beauty on TV,
you're going
to get
there.
A lot of hits to your website. And, and then what I also recognized is they replay stuff too. So you can feel the residual effects of the Dragon's Den effect, as we call it, go on for a lot longer, because then it went on to Netflix for a few years that, which was really cool, because we would see bumps and we're like, oh, it must be
the Netflix effect. I know. Well, me and Megan, the founder of Soul Kissed, on, and she had just recently come off of Dragon's Den, and she said even just the marketing, being able to say you were on Dragon's Den, there's something. She goes, it's unfortunate, especially with a lot of female entrepreneurs, that they have to be like legitimized to these like corporate bros and stuff. But she said any corporate bro, as soon as she said I make a sunglasses brand, they're like, oh, but she goes, but I was on Dragon's Den, they immediately take her more seriously. It's unfortunate that that's how it has to go, but she does say it helps legitimize and helps with your marketing, like, going forward as well.
It's true, because think of all the people that don't make it to the show. So if you got on the show, then you definitely have a higher caliber business than a lot of other folks. So that would definitely give you some street credibility, and it is those relationships sometimes that you make on purpose for that, right?
Well, and also you never know who's watching, like who's like, right? I'm sure, like, maybe there's a buyer for some store that, like, just maybe that's how they figure out new business. I mean, that'd be a smart way.
I had
like
an investor call after the show. I mean, right? Exactly. A few, not just one, like reaching out if I was still seeking capital too.
So that's the thing, it's like more than just the five people in the chairs, which is really smart. It's like more outward, there's like way more opportunity than even you'd think.
I want to jump back, because we talked a good amount about sustainability as a kind of a core value of the business, but I know, and I think you even referenced it at the beginning of the episode, that you, supporting Indigenous youth is also something that's important to you. And there's a scholarship fund, right? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so funny, it was part of this dream, but I was never able to fulfill that part until 2021 when we launched in Sephora. We then use every September 30th, which is called Orange Shirt Day, or now National Truth and Reconciliation Day. We use that day to launch a new product every single year.
I love that.
And it's orange, of some variation or range of orange, for obvious reasons. And then we use all of the profits for that product to go to our scholarship fund. So in year one, we were only able to give one scholarship in 2021. Last year, we gave five. And this year, we're giving 10. And we announced February 1st will be the announcement for all 10 winners of the scholarship.
That's so exciting.
And we had over 350 applicants this year, which just means I'm like, oh my goodness, there are so many more to give. And if you asked my team, we're like 95% of those applications we would say yes to, right? Like, they were just so good. So I'm so proud of these Indigenous youth and all of the things they're working on. Like, it's absolutely heartwarming and wild to see, like, and it's being a part of that. Our first winner of the scholarship fund, her name was Jody. And then the second year we actually named the lip gloss after her because we had a Jody gloss. But every item that comes out for this is very limited edition. We never recreate it. So the Jody gloss, it existed once and now it's gone. But she became a lawyer and now she's back in her home community supporting her community. Like I she went and did all the work and her whole goal was always to go back to community and support. And it's just so amazing to be a part of that.
I feel like it's so tangible too for like your consumers too as well to be able to like actually see the effect that your brand is having.
If you're wearing our product, you have helped somebody get a scholarship.
Like, isn't that then you see the grassroots actual impact of then actually going back and supporting. Mm.
So one, we were talking about representation earlier and Golden Globe winner / Oscar nominated. We were talking about the Oscars a lot actually before you got here. Lily Gladstone was seen wearing Cheekbone Beauty. What did that mean to you? One, and is that just the craziest level of like where this brand has like and shown you the growth of like how mainstream and like literally like the biggest in one of the biggest movies of the year. Isn't that like incredible?
Crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. And it's all because of her. Yeah. So her makeup artist is a celebrity makeup artist, Nick Burrows from Los Angeles. And he reaches out and asks us for a whole bunch of product because he does Lily's makeup. And we're like, oh, this is sweet. That's nice. Mm-hmm. I do an event. I won an award. And so we went to Los Angeles to accept it. And we were doing an event at one of our JCPenney locations there, as well as another beauty store, 13 Loon, that we sell out of. And he came to the event. So I got to meet him in person. And he was so sweet. And he shared with me, he's like, Lily, he's like, I'm going to apologize because I hope you don't think it was me that did all this. Mm-hmm. She specifically asked us to use your products. And Chanel is the sponsor. Like, they're not supposed to do that. But for other projects that where Chanel wasn't sponsoring, he used it wherever he could. And despite Chanel being the main sponsor at the Golden Globes and the Oscars coming up, he still used our product. And it's just phenomenal that that's what community can do. And I had no idea, but there's a ton of celebrities that know about our brand, use our products, and it's been pretty incredible. From the beginning, I had no idea that like Ryan Reynolds follows Cheekbone Beauty, and he only follows like five, or at the time only followed like 500 accounts. And my marketing manager, I was looking at the stories the one day, and I was like, Vanity Reynolds has watched our story? Like, what the hell is happening? And she's like, he follows our account. You didn't know that? I'm like, no? Like, how would I know? And it was the first time I think my kids were like, okay, my mom's legitimate now, right?
Got a little in the
That's like, they realized that like, oh, mom's cool now. Yeah. Ryan Reynolds. That's so cool. Oh, it's amazing. But I also think like, it goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of like, real authentic representation, like what Lily Gladstone's been doing on like the mainstream media circuit, like taking like her platform and like everything she's been wearing, jewelry, dresses, every like has all been like indigenous owned brands. So even now knowing that's like the makeup on her face as well, just like it just goes to show the importance of representation, because it's not just about Lily Gladstone being the first indigenous like actor to be in this position, but it's also the fact that then the ripple effect, like you said, of community that she's then supporting so many other people and entrepreneurs and communities outwardly that way, which I think is like the more powerful thing than ever. Like, and we've talked about like, not just put your money where your mouth is, and like, not just like the people that like do checking boxes or whatever it might be. It goes to show that like the authenticity matters so much. And it like makes me so happy. I just got chills like talking with that. Cause I think it's just like, it doesn't go without being seen. Like, that's just so important.
And you know what it actually made me do? Like, as much as I try to support smaller indigenous businesses or other indigenous women entrepreneurs, at the end of last year, after this all started happening, after meeting Nick, I was like, you know what? I got serious. I've always had this idea about starting an indigenous beauty collective, like a group of other indigenous people that are in the beauty space and doing things, you know, as authentically as we are trying to do, right? Like they're making, formulating, and they're thinking about sustainability. Because when I think about indigenous beauty, I almost look at it now as this is a category that Cheekbone has led the way in creating. Meaning when you hear the word indigenous beauty, I want people to think of natural ingredients and I want people to think of sustainability. And we're carving out this space in the beauty industry because French beauty exists. Like that's known for like perfume and red lipstick or or Korean beauty is all about excellent skincare, right? So all of these other cultures, or Ayurvedic beauty, right?
Oh, like that's so true. Yeah,
they all have their reason for existing and their meaning. And so I'm like, Cheekbone and now these other beauty brands, we will all share this space and we'll be a part of this collective called Indigenous Beauty. And that the world will then start to recognize and understand what we bring to the beauty industry.
Well, I mean, I even notice you're wearing it like an Ani like sweatsuit. Like, and that's another Indigenous owned brand, which I adore. I have my favorite bucket hats like are from there. Like so the best, because I used to be up at Sacked Market. So even that is just like goes to show the community supporting community, and then it like creates a larger ripple effect everywhere else. And then that goes back to what you said about the kid looking up at the Sephora billboard that will never know a world where their like people are represented and have a space, and they'll never know a world that doesn't exist that way, which I think is really powerful. And that's like amazing, the work that you're doing. I really respect it.
Thank you.
So we actually, Cheekbone Beauty is so kind, and they are giving all of our listeners a code. You can use the code TALKINGFAST20 if you want a discount on these incredible products, which I'm literally going to go and fill up my basket now once I go home because I'm so excited. I love the ripple effect. I love everything that you guys are doing. What is like your final thing that you would hope that our listeners are left with after like learning more about your brand, or what you'd want to leave them with?
Yeah, that we're beauty made for every human. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. A lot of times I think when I started, people would actually think it's just for Indigenous people. Mm-mm. But I was like, no, lamb comb is not just for French people.
That's true.
And I just, I don't want people to feel bad for thinking that, because we have sometimes reasons for thinking things that are preconceived ideas that were put into our heads, not by us on purpose a long time. Well, sometimes maybe on purpose, but I just want everyone to know it's for every human.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on Talking Fast. I hope we have you again soon. I can't wait to watch this brand grow and follow along with it. And thank you to all of you for listening to this episode of Talking Fast. We are here every single Wednesday. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.